It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. You live it up the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York. It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com from the office of Chris Sheeran. That would be me, as we do every week. Unless we go on the road, very seldomly. Joe Auriemma and I.
Hello.
The very best in sports talk. Emanating from your computers. Or your iPods.
Absolutely. We're on iTunes.
Yes.
That's right.
And it's free 99, people. So go there and subscribe and have some fun with me and Joe.
If you didn't recognize, that was a free 99.
Yes. Free. We're going to kick off this week's podcast with football, and we're going to start with the New York Jets, and how I think it's just basically time, Joe, and you could chime in whenever you want here. I think it's time for Rex Ryan to, I know guy, you know, the reporters love him, you know, he's colorful, the Wednesday press conferences are, you know, they're adventurous every week. You know, people can't wait to get into that press conference on Wednesday with him because they don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
As opposed to Eric Mangini, who is just very, you know, close to the vest and pretty much boring at his press conferences. I get it. You know, he's better in that way for New York because he gives you something to write.
Right.
But I think it's time for him
to shut
his mouth. He comes out now. He apologized for what he said to Norv Turner.
Yes, he did.
He did. But what he said to Norv.
By the way, did you see Norv's reaction back to the apology?
Absolutely.
He
the
said
the whole thing is if you didn't hear it, if you didn't read it, Rex Ryan said if he was given the job with the Chargers when that job was up,
right.
Ryan was in line for it, but it went to Norv Turner. He said I'd have a couple rings already with the Chargers, and Norv Turner found out about the comments and said, oh, really? Where are the two that he's promised the past 2 years with his current team?
So Turner actually said, I was a little bit surprised by the call, and then after I saw the quote, so he really didn't have a chance. He said, I didn't have a chance to ask him this, but I was wondering if he had those rings with the ones he's guaranteed the last couple of years.
And he guaranteed another one this year.
Right.
So I just think it's time to stop with the asinine guarantees. Get your team ready for their games.
What happened to the ground and pound, by the way?
This they have another no quote. Running game.
This is another quote. Oh, we're to be a championship caliber team, we're gonna ground and pound. We're gonna run the ball down these guys' throats. I haven't seen anything. Their offensive line stinks.
Listen.
Their running game stinks.
This is a Tony Romo.
Sanchez is indecisive.
This is a Tony Romo mistake from being a two-win team.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah.
A Tony Romo turnover, or two, by the way, either one of those that he turned over in week one, the Jets are 2-4.
And
think about that.
And I'm sorry, but in the Dolphins' win, they didn't look that impressive against a team that they should have just overmatched. And the score was not indicative of how bad the Jets, I thought, looked. I'm sorry. I thought they looked bad in that game. You know, other than Revis, I'm sorry.
They did not play a good first half against the Dolphins.
No.
The team looked like garbage. The first four offensive possessions were three and outs.
And by the way,
three and outs.
The last
against the Dolphins.
Did you see that?
Who people, experts were saying, gave up.
They said, I believe in the game, they said it was the last four games, the last three games, where the Jets have started each game with three straight three and outs.
It's pathetic, and it all dials back to the running game, which they have none. Sean Green is a ghost. They haven't had a running game since Thomas Jones, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Think about it. What have they done?
I mean, last year they were okay with, you know, LT and Sean. They had a nice back and forth, but they still weren't, you know, unbelievable, but it was enough. It was enough, and they had the offensive line, so it was creating bigger holes for these guys to run through. So it was enough for the Jets to get to the AFC Championship game.
Look, after squeaking by the Cowboys in Week 1 and destroying an awful Jaguar team in Week 2, they lost to the Raiders by 10. They got doubled up, drilled in Baltimore, 34-17. They go to New England. Granted, these back-to-back killer games. But if the team is anything what their coach boasted to be in training camp when he's on with Mike Francesa on Yes, basically saying we're the best team in the league. Now, I know as a coach you want to put that out there to instill confidence in your players. But, you know, fans eat that up in New York, and they'll also tear you up if it doesn't happen.
Right.
So if you're going to boast that in New York, you better damn well sure come correct when the season starts. And right now, the Jets are a 3-3 team, and they could be looking at the wrong end of 500 after playing the Chargers at MetLife this Sunday.
Going into their bye week. This is a must win. I'm sorry. Must win going into their bye. Because then they come back and they go to Rich Stadium, or whatever it's called these days. They go to
Ralph
Buffalo.
Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Better than a corporate sponsorship stadium,
yes.
If you ask me.
Okay, so they go to Buffalo, okay? And they never have an easy time in Buffalo. Even when the Bills stunk, they never had an easy time.
The Bills don't stink.
No, they don't. They don't. They do not stink. Then they play New England at home. All right.
That's a Sunday nighter.
Okay.
Sanchez had to lead them last-minute drive to beat the Broncos
last year. Right.
In Denver.
Right.
So they're going back out there. So it's not a gimme. Then they have Buffalo at home. Again, not a gimme. Then they go to D.C. That's not a gimme.
No.
Kansas City at home.
That's pretty much their only gimme.
Then they go when the games are going to really start to matter. Okay, Philly starts to turn things around. They're 2-4 now. They start to turn things around. That game, Week 15, December 18th, 4:15 at the Link. Good night.
That might be the good night.
That might be the good night right there. Then the following week, they're home against the Giants.
Which is the Giants' home, so.
And you bet your bottom, your backside. Bet your backside that Tom Coughlin will have the back page of the New York Post or the front page, whatever it was.
Paint this town green, baby.
That had Rex Ryan on top of the Statue of Liberty proclaiming this is a Jets town.
You know what?
The Giants might not be involved in a playoff spot situation
right
there.
They might, though.
They might be.
They might.
Depending, and we'll get to them
in a second.
Eli
is playing out of his mind, yes.
They might be. We'll get to the Giants in a second. Talking about the Jets right now.
Paint the town green, baby.
Paint the town green, okay? We are no longer the Giants' little brother. This is our town. Oh, really? We'll see where we are that game.
What amazes me is they paint the town green, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. The Giants just had one of the greatest Super Bowl victories of all time within a handful of years ago. Less than a handful of years ago.
Beating, by the way.
The 18-0 Patriots.
Who are the Jets' nemesis in the AFC.
Right. Yeah, but let's paint the town green.
Let's paint the town green. Anyway, Joe and I are going to be eating a little crow, I think, because we're going to go through this with every team, but our preseason predictions, we don't shy away from our predictions. You know, we each had the Jets at 13-3. I think it's safe to say, as you said before the podcast started, we bought into the hype.
We totally bought into the hype on two teams.
So the Jets are going to have to go on a 13-game rip in order for our predictions to come true. We each said the same thing about the Eagles, too. We had them at 13-3.
Yeah, how's that working out?
Yeah, they're 2-4. Kiss that one goodbye. And we might as well wrap up the Jets schedule before we move on to the Giants. In a snore fest in Week 17, it'll be the Jets at Miami, where Miami will be playing for Andrew Luck.
Good luck.
They will be trying to cement their first-round draft pick next year with that Week 17
Tony Sperano might not even be the coach of the team.
Yeah, I mean, And that's January 1st.
He'll be sleeping with the fishes with Tony Soprano.
That's still yet to be determined. There might be a Soprano movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's stupid ending.
Not.
Anyway, January 1st, 2012, Jets Dolphins. Mark your calendars, everybody.
Woo! New Year's Day Fest. Snooze
I wonder
fest.
If the 72 Dolphins will be there to
hopefully
to salute an 0-16 season.
Hopefully you partied the night before and you sleep through the game.
Oh, baby. Yeah, that's a Sunday you want to wake up at 4 and be like, yeah, I don't feel guilty at all. As for the Jets roommates, the Giants, they had their bye this week. Big win into their bye last week.
Very inconsistent, this team.
Very inconsistent. This is a team, Joe, arguably could be 6-0 this year. They went down to Washington. They could have beaten that Redskins team. Just mistake after mistake. Drop passes. They start the second half getting the ball. They're down by a touchdown, and Eli throws the pick six.
It's funny, though, you say that, though, because this team could have, you know, they were not impressive against the Rams.
No.
They could have easily lost to the Cardinals.
Right.
You know, they had an impressive win against the Eagles. They should have beaten they're better than the Seahawks. They should have beaten the Seahawks.
Should have beaten the Seahawks.
So it's a weird team to judge right now.
Just to give you an idea of that Seahawk game and how people were confident in that, we have a knockout pool here at Yes. There were 28 people left going into that week. 21 people picked the Giants to beat the Seahawks. I am one of the 7 that remain. Mr. Oriema is on the outside looking in. So he becomes my Tom, what's his last name? In the movie Godfather, the consigliere.
Oh, yeah, Tom Hagen.
Tom Hagen, the consigliere.
Hey, I helped you last week,
you
right?
You did. I got the Jets. I survive in advance, baby. This week I took the Ravens over the Jaguars in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's a pretty
Monday night.
Pretty sure bet.
We'll talk about that afterwards to see if we solidify that. But anyway, the Giants, big win.
These are the positives for me, Chris. Going into
but
the
agree
bye.
Or disagree, they could have beaten the Redskins, they could have beaten the Seahawks, but as you said, they could have lost a couple of those other games. So at 4-2, they're pretty much where they should be.
Right, and you know, there's a couple of positives that I really am harping on here. Eli Manning has played out of his mind in this first half.
I think he's had to.
He's been unbelievable. He's already, you know, in 6 games.
How's Plaxico working out, Jeff fans?
Yeah. In 6 games, Eli has thrown for 1,800 yards. 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 101 quarterback rating. He's
and was unconscious.
64% completion.
Unconscious against the Bills.
64%.
Had just a ridiculous game against
unbelievable.
The Bills. Even though he screwed me in fantasy and didn't throw any touchdown passes.
Yeah, yeah. Jake Ballard is making people forget about Kevin Boss.
Yeah.
This guy's got great hands, and I like the run-after-catch ability that he has. He's got soft hands.
And let's give Jerry Reese some credit.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who let Boss go to the Raiders and Steve Smith go to the Eagles.
Yeah.
Everybody was all over him saying, what are you doing? You don't know their value, blah, 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 blah. What have they done for their new teams? And look at Ballard stepping in and pressing on. The only disappointment, probably, Travis Beckham.
Who, he can't stay on the field. But you know what? They got Ballard out of it. You know, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Jason Pierre-Paul, Ozzie Umenyura. Ozzie's had a great first half. He's kept his mouth shut.
3 sacks in 5 games?
Yeah, he's kept his mouth shut.
5 sacks in 3 games.
And Jason Pierre-Paul has been great, tipping that ball at the end of the game, knocking it down, really learning on the job.
With Justin Tuck not injured.
I know.
That defense, you and I could play cornerback. With those 4 on the front line.
Yeah.
We really could because the quarterback's not going to have any time to throw the ball.
Corey Webster's been great. Michael Boley.
Let me say this, though, and I just to throw some honesty at this Bills game last week.
The Giants are
very lucky that Ryan Fitzpatrick underthrew 2 balls because twice Stevie Johnson beat Webster.
Yes.
And Fitzy underthrew him. I mean, Webster basically turned around twice and the ball was right between his numbers.
The second one was more impressive than the first
second
one.
The second one was.
Underthrow.
But the first one was just, you know, he turned around to see where the ball was and he was catching the ball.
That's true.
I mean, good Lord, if Fitzpatrick threw those passes where they should have been thrown, that's 2 touchdowns easily.
You know, it's you look at the, like you said, that's, you know, sometimes that's luck of the draw, but that's football. I mean, that's what happens. He's there at the right place at the right time. If this team had Terrell Thomas, I mean, I think they'd be in a much different position. And if they had some veteran linebackers that weren't hurt, you know, that's where the big play, the big plays have really come to haunt them. You know, the Fred Jackson 80-yard touchdown, the 80-yard, you know, touchdown that they gave up, Stevie Johnson.
You thought it was going to be a long day.
Yeah.
After those two plays, the 80-yarder for Freddie Jackson and the 60-yarder to the relative unknown receiver from the New York area or from the Buffalo area.
Yeah.
I forget his name off the top of my head, but he takes it 60 yards for the score, and you were just like, what is going on? But after that, everything sort of just fell together for the Giants' defense, and they held them in check.
And Joe Callahan pointed this out. The one thing that has really been unsung in this whole thing is special teams. Their special teams hasn't been great. But last year, with Matt Dodge punting the ball.
Yeah, they were awful.
They were awful. Weatherford is a good punter. He is a good punter.
He a punter. You might want
to. Tynes stinks. I don't care what anybody says.
You might want to make fun of punters because all they do is kick the ball, but they play such an integral role. Field position is a huge, huge thing in the NFL.
It's a huge advantage.
I mean, if you're pinning a team inside the 10, if you're pinning a team inside the 20. If you've got a punter punting from his own end zone who could put the ball back to the other 35.
I'm sorry, but this team has missed Jeff Fegels, and they won a championship with Jeff Fegels. I'm not saying it's because of Jeff Fegels, but they had good field position advantages in each game because Jeff Fegels knew how to punt teams, how to pin teams back. The Giants, for years, were lucky that they had Sean Landetta back there. I'm sorry, but these guys are important. It is a field position battle. And when you have a good punter, it makes all the difference in the world.
Could be 6-0, are lucky to be 4-2 right where they are because, you know, the two games they should have and could have won, they could have and should have two other ones.
The Victor Cruz catch and drop in the Arizona game.
Right, bring up a very valid point. I mean, that's a very valid point.
By the way, and let's give an honorable mention, Victor Cruz has been awesome.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
They don't miss Steve Smith.
At all. He's filled the void, and Mario Manningham got back into the act last week as well. So the Giants, who many thought, you know, who were lacking at receiver and needed a Plaxico Burress to come in, were all being proven wrong.
Yep.
They are fine with what they have. Ahmad Bradshaw is emerging as the number one running back because just like Travis Beckham, Brandon Jacobs can't stay on the field.
Nope.
He's getting nicked up all the time. Justin Tuck, you know, he's got the stinger. Hopefully the bye week helps him get back into action. But from what I'm reading and what I'm hearing, you know, he's probably not going to be in the lineup when they come back to play Miami in week 8.
Well, I've heard mixed things. I heard he might be
well, better. Hopefully if he comes back to that defensive line. I mean, I don't see any defensive line in the league. Maybe the Lions.
I mean, if you can get Tuck, Umenyora, Pierre Paul and Kiwanuka, all healthy?
Wow. I mean, name another defensive line. Yeah. Really? I mean, they're suspect. They're very young at linebacker. You know, Goff is out.
Sintem
is hurt again. They're very young at the linebacker. You know, they're very young with the linebackers. You have that good front four, though. The linebackers can afford to make mistakes on occasion. You got kids like Jaquan Williams, who's playing out of his mind, too, by the way. And I think guys like Williams and guys like Greg Jones from Michigan State, I think they benefit, and I think a lot of pressure is taken off of them by, A, the front four,
mm-hmm.
and, B, you have Michael Boley playing out of his mind.
Right.
Too, and bringing up the level of their play as well. So the Giants defense all
starts. And by the way, Dave Tollefson too has been good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've just had it everywhere on the defensive side.
Linville Joseph, he's been decent. I mean, they've been good.
All right, Joe, we went through the Jets schedule, so let's now go through the Giants schedule. Next up for Big Blue is the Dolphins after the bye week this week.
That's a game they should win. That's a game they should win.
It'll be called a trap game, but that's a game you should just mark on your calendars as a W. Then after Miami, this is where it starts to get a little sketchy for the Giants. This is when you're going to start to separate, you know, is this team for real? Can this team compete for a postseason berth? Or are they pretenders? It's right. Contender or pretender time after the Miami game.
So they 5-2, they should be.
5-2 after the Miami game. This is what's staring them right in the face. Back-to-back.
They can't lose that Miami game, by
right.
the way. They
if
have
they
to
lose
win.
The Miami game, they're not going to make
so
the
So 5-2.
So week 9 in New England. That's a 4-15 start. I'm not saying they can't beat the Patriots, but it's going to be a heck of a test for that defense. And the offense is going to have to hold the ball.
Yeah.
Look what the Cowboys did. The Cowboys, I think the Cowboys took a playbook out of the Giants from the Super Bowl. It just shows you what happens.
Well, Rob Ryan's a smart guy, man.
When Tom Brady's pressured, he's throwing interceptions.
Yep.
The Cowboys played a great game defensively, but like I always like to say, they brought field goals to a touchdown fight.
Yes, and Tony Romo came up small in the game again.
After New England, San Francisco.
Got to go across country.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And it's always
against
tough.
Against a good team that's going to win that West Division. They're going to win that
and
division.
And will Tom Coughlin get into a fist fight with Jim Harbaugh? That'd be nice. That'd be interesting to see that handshake. Anyway, we're not even going to get into that. I think it was just, you know, so stupid. Anyway, San Francisco is after New England, both back-to-back away games. And as Joe just so eloquently put it, they have to travel across country to play the 49ers. That's never an easy task for the Giants, if you know their history on the West Coast. And then after those two back-to-back brutal away games, they come home. And they get the Eagles on Sunday night. Mm. Now, you don't know where the Eagles are going to be this game. I mean, they might have...
They could start a roll.
Right. They could start a roll and be coming back and firing on all cylinders. And, you know, if the Giants lose those back-to-back games, they're looking at 5-4 and possibly not only the playoffs, but the division being on the line in that game against the Eagles.
Right.
So then after that, after the Eagles, they get to go to New Orleans to take
yeah,
on
the Drew
Saints.
Brees and the Saints. Yeah.
Then after they play the Saints,
they play
in New Orleans. That's a Monday night game. They play the defending Super Bowl champion Packers the next week.
Just 6 days later, by the way, folks.
At home.
6 days later, after a Monday night game. So it's not even 6 days because it's a Monday night game going into
those
a Sunday day.
5 weeks, you know, Giant fans are going to be ready to just be like, okay, who are we playing next? Yeah, I mean...
Oh, they, yeah, it doesn't end there.
Are the 85,
they go to Dallas after
that. Are
the
85 Bears on the schedule next? Week 14, they go to Dallas. Week 15...
They should beat the Redskins
yeah,
after all that.
Week 15 at home, but you don't know where they're going to be. I mean, that's a brutal stretch of games. It doesn't end there, Chris. That ends in Dallas. Then they play the Redskins. Then they play the Jets. And who knows where the Jets are going to be. We just went through that. Then they have the Cowboys at home. That's New Year's Day 2012.
I mean, that could be
as well.
It could be one way or the other. The Giants could be brimming with confidence.
Hey, listen. I got, you know, I had the Giants at 9-7. Joe has them at 8-8. I got to tell you, as a Giant fan with how they set themselves up before the bye, I'm nothing but confident and I'm nothing but excited as these weeks approach. I want to see these games. I want to see what this team is made of. You know, I am the constant pessimist. You know that. Callow gets on my case for that all the time. Well, this is put up or shut up. This is what I like to see my team up against. I don't want to see them. I would rather see the Giants lose those 6 weeks straight to great teams rather than spit the bit against a team like the Miami Dolphins, which is what they're prone to do.
And by the way, this
NFC... I want to see them challenge.
And this NFC East is going to... I'm sorry, but it's going to be won by a team that has 10 wins. That's where they're at right now.
It might even be 9.
It might.
It might even be 9. Look where the Eagles are, 2-4.
Giants are...
Giants are
leading the division.
Right. Skins are 4-2.
3-2.
3-2, sorry.
And the Cowboys are 2-3.
Yeah, it's setting up for a 9 or 10 win division winner. And I don't think a wild card is coming out of the East.
No.
I think that North division is going to
Well, I mean, you got
one of them.
Green Bay at 6-0 and Detroit at 5-1.
There
right
you
now.
Go.
Chicago's kind of lying in the weeds at 3-3.
Yeah.
The South has Tampa at 4-2, New Orleans at 4-2, Atlanta at 3-3.
And the Bucs just beat the Saints.
Yes.
You can't. Can you figure out the Buccaneers for me, please?
Ugh. talk about, you know, as a Giant fan, you think the Giants are inconsistent. Try being a Buccaneer fan.
Wow. It's unbelievable. But listen, for both teams in New York, it's just shaping up to be a very exciting rest of the season. But going back to our point at the beginning of this football conversation, hey, Rex, I know it's all about the confidence. Enough.
Shut up now.
Yeah, we
you haven't won a thing.
We don't want to hear it. Until you're going down the Canyon of Heroes and holding up the Lombardi Trophy, enough. Okay?
In a franchise that hasn't held up a Lombardi Trophy since Joe Namath was pointing his finger.
Yes. It spreads to your fans, and your fans also think that the Jets are the best thing since sliced bread now. Go out there and win one. Okay? I know you got to the AFC Championship the last two games. First of all, get to the Super Bowl. Win it. Then start talking.
Absolutely. I'll back you up. I'll be there at the press conference the day that you win the Super Bowl, just so I could hear what you have to say, because you deserve to say everything that you want to say.
Yeah, absolutely. If you talk the talk and then walk the walk, you could say whatever the hell you want. Hell, they can make a bronze statue of you, and they probably will, because you're the first coach who brought a Super Bowl championship back to the Jets since Joe Willie Namath was running off the field.
Weeb Eubank.
And yeah. Don Maynard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I just want to say, Rex, you know, you don't understand why odds makers have you as the underdog this week. Well, maybe because the San Diego Chargers are 4-1. And you're 3-3.
And if the Chargers go out there and beat the Jets, this Jet team is in big time trouble.
Big time trouble. And you know what? Don't worry about what the spread is. Don't worry about whether you're a favorite or an underdog. Bill Parcells always said, the lines are crap. Who cares? Who cares what the odds makers think?
They're crap. Not playing the game on Sunday.
Exactly.
All right. From football, from the gridiron, we go to the diamond now. We wrap up the podcast with a little baseball talk.
In the ratings bonanza that is the World Series.
I can care less about the ratings, okay? The two teams are there.
I can tell you, I think Bud Selig cares about the ratings.
I don't. I don't.
Chris, it's wonderful that you don't.
I don't. I absolutely. Hey, it might matter to Fox. It might matter to whoever else. Doesn't matter to me.
I agree. No,
because because the Cardinals and the Rangers deserve to be in the Fall Classic.
Agreed.
I don't care what the TV says. Those stadiums are packed. The people that follow these teams are rabid. They love the teams.
Right.
Hey. If you have it one way, if you sit there and say, I'm sick of the Yankees being in the World Series every stinking year, but the ratings are great because the Yankees are in it, okay? Can't have it both ways. Let the smaller markets
have
a taste.
I have no problem with the Cardinals and Rangers being in it.
Let me say this. Before you say anything else.
Not really that. Look,
It's
really
great having no dog in the fight, too, because I could sit there without my heart, you know, being 5 feet out of my chest. But I'm going to say this right now. It is Friday, October 21st. We're taping this. Okay? The World Series is over. Over. It is not coming back to St. Louis.
Wow.
You heard it here. The Rangers will sweep the next three games. The Cardinals.
That was a must win.
The Cardinals spit the bit big time.
And by the way, Mott coming being pulled out of that game. You ever pull Mariano Rivera out of the game? Sorry.
Tony La Russa, you know, he's Wile E. Coyote. He's super genius.
Albert Pujols.
Not last night.
Wanna get the cutoff? Huh? Or how about Albert Pujols? You want to talk to the media after the game, after you miss the cutoff?
Wow. Just they weren't there. None of them were there. Buster Olney tweeted it.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how I know. Oh, baby. You'll never find me. And you probably haven't listened to the podcast this far anyway. So you're probably not gonna know anyway. But anyway, it's over. It's going to be 80 degrees in Texas. The Rangers are going up against, you know, who is it, Kyle Loesch?
Yes. Oh, and by the way, everybody that says that, you know, in order to make the World Series, you have to have the greatest starting rotations, Just look at these two teams.
Yeah, awful. The Rangers' ERA in the ALCS was over six.
Yeah, thanks CJ Wilson.
Yeah,
They're number one. They're ace. And by the way, if the Yankees go after this guy,
they're not going to go after
CJ Wilson. They're nuts. They're nuts. I know they're not going to.
And Yu Darvish.
Please stop.
We'll get into that in a second.
Please
stop. Hold on. I don't want to get off topic here. The World Series is over. It's not coming back.
I think it is.
I don't think
it goes to a game six.
And here's why. Game three, Saturday, it's Kyle Loesch. Game four is Edwin Jackson.
Okay.
Game five is Carpenter. He's got some elbow problems. He pitched a hell of a game in game one. I think the Rangers figure him out.
Carpenter's I think the Cardinals gone. Win one of those games.
I don't. I'm sorry.
I think it's going to be the Carpenter game. I do. I think they win one of the games. Because, again, I'm not overly confident in the rotation that the Rangers have. I'm sorry. I'm not.
But you didn't have to be overly confident in their rotation because their lineup was paying all the dividends. They haven't done anything in the first two games, granted. But you have to take temperature into effect here. You have to.
Which could be a big advantage for the Cardinals. It could be,
but I really do think...
Could be Albert Pujols heating up.
I think the Rangers' offense is going to explode.
I think they're going to win one game. I think it comes back to St. Louis.
I think it's over. I think Texas is celebrating on October 24th in Arlington at home, avenging their loss to the Giants last year. And Chris Carlin finally gets to celebrate a World Series championship for his team.
Texas Rangers fan, that's right.
Oh, baby.
How'd that work out?
Why can't Dirk Nowitzki throw out the first pitch at Game 3? Really?
I agree.
Really?
I know.
Now, Yu Darvish. Now, we brought this up last week. You did on the podcast last week. You said you don't want the Yankees to touch him with a 10-foot pole. You brought up the numbers of Matsuzaka, Arabu, and Nomo, and all these guys who had over 200 strikeouts and like 30 walks or whatever the...
Daisuke had the same year, the same year that Yu Darvish had.
You know, there's a difference in the height of the mound in Japan. There's a difference in the strike zone. There's
a
difference in the hitters. I was getting there. I mean, there's all these things you have to take into effect, but River Avenue Blues thinks the Yankees should go after him.
Yeah. I have no comment.
Say something funny.
I have no comment.
After the Yankees spent all that money on Keigawa, who, you know, for lack of everything else, is the...
He's the greatest AAA pitcher in the history of baseball.
Most wins in international in international league history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, most dinners paid for. I mean, look, after the Yankees posted all that money and gave him all that money, do you really think they're going to go after another one?
No.
In their right minds, if Cashman, are pointing to Cashman coming back as a senior VP and general manager.
Right. I don't think he's
going after another Japanese pitcher.
I don't think so either. I don't think there's a big difference. Now, again, I pointed out Koji Uehara. He's an example of a reliever that was good. Okajima had some good years. Nomo had some good years. But in the end, not one of the Japanese pitchers has had a Cy Young quality type season. Daisuke had one year where he was 18-3, had a huge year. But again, the league caught up to him. And that was after the Red Sox paid with posting fee over $100 million for this guy, and they got one good season at him. One! How's that gyro ball doing? That's what I want to know. You know what the gyro ball is? The gyro ball is a BP fastball. I'm sorry. You're not fooling anybody.
No.
Shoot, though, my butt. I was going to go the other way.
Yeah. Anyway, this just in, by the way. An unidentified fan placed a $250 bet on September 12th that the Cardinals would win the World Series at 999-1 odds. If the Cards win, the payout is just under $250,000. The same fan also bet $250 that the Cards would win the NL Championship at 500-1 odds. He already got $125,000.
Good for this guy.
On September 12th, the Cards were 5 games behind the Brewers in the Central
Division. He's already won.
And 4.5 behind. Yeah, he's up a ton.
He's already won, so he loses the 215. The greatest bet I ever made, and you know what? We don't condone gambling on this show. But the greatest bet I ever made was back in 04, before the season, at 19-1, I put a $200 bet on the Detroit Pistons to win the NBA championship. And that was before they had gotten Rasheed Wallace, which kind of solidified. So I had a huge win. That's a big win for me. Yeah, it's like $3,800.
Hey, that's a lot of money for us.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money for anybody. Well, maybe not those bankers.
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, don't get me started. Anyway, that's going to, I think, wrap things up. So as you heard, it's over. World Series, don't even bother watching.
No, because Chris Sheeran said so. just like River Ave Blue said they should sign Yu Darvish, Chris Sheeran said so. So I'm going to throw that out there. Don't even bother watching. Not that anybody's watching anyway, but don't even bother putting on Fox.
Well, they're not even watching. The ratings are...
No one's going to know that it's in 5 anyway.
God bless the Rangers and the Cardinals. God bless their fans. I'm happy. It's good for baseball. There's different teams in the World Series. I said it last year. I'll say it again this year. It's nice to see some new blood, even though the Cardinals have been there 3 times in the last 10 years. But they're a storied franchise, just like the Yankees.
Yes.
And it's just nice to see a team that hasn't won it ever, that could, and as I said, probably will in 5 games, and a team that has a storied history like the Cardinals.
Yeah, the probably the greatest franchise in NL in the NL
in the National League. Yeah, precisely. Them and the Dodgers, really, but the Cardinals have been there more.
Right,
haven't they?
The Cardinals have been there more than any National League team. Also, they've won 10 World Championships. The only other team, other than the Yankees, to have double-digit championship wins.
There you go. You heard it from our historian right there, Joe Oriema. And that's going to wrap things up for the podcast this week. Thanks for listening, everyone. We really appreciate it. You can join us again next week for our next podcast, where you see if our my prediction came true. If not, I will eat crow. And, by the time we tape this, probably be next Friday.
Right, we'll know.
World Series will be over.
We'll know one way or the other.
Game 7 is scheduled for the 27th on Thursday, so we'll know one way or the other. And I will eat crow, and I will take it like a man, but I really do truly believe in my gut that it's over. For Joe Riem, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.